Acts 28, verse 1, when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain, because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire, felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. The subject of the day, if you missed this morning's service, has been God of the fire and dealing with the fire and how God uses fire in our lives. And you see here, really, Paul's life was about dealing with fiery trials. Basically, from when he went off to the field, even after salvation, there were trials there because the disciples really didn't accept him at first, couldn't believe that this great persecutor of the church was suddenly a child of God and his intentions were pure and his heart was right. So they looked at him with great suspicion. And then whether it was being stoned or thrown out of the city or hated or mocked or even not being accepted, we see all the way up to the Council at Jerusalem, the disciples were still cautious and careful and even critical about the work that Paul had done. And now we see he's been arrested. He's being sent to Rome and to appeal there before Caesar, who really was the emperor of the world at that time. You'd have to say, boy, I don't know if his luck could get any worse than this right here. I mean, he's on a boat. It's shipwrecked. 276 people are flung out into the sea. Now, we're talking about cold waters. It's a miracle that they didn't die of hypothermia. It's a miracle they reached the shore. God had told them by way of Paul that they'd all survive. But as they straggle, can you imagine the people on this island Melita, which we would call modern day Malta, there just south of Sicily, probably 50 or 60 miles south of Sicily. So they crawl up on this small island and they look haggard. Their clothing, what's left of it, I mean, they're wet, it's raining. The Bible says because of the present rain and because of the cold, the barbarians there on the island. Now, the reference here is that these were probably ex-prisoners themselves. They've been placed on the island, but the barbarians here, they build a fire and they help these people together. The Bible says that Paul is gathering sticks. A viper bites him on the wrist. And here's what I want you to see tonight. I want to talk for a few minutes about shaking it off and letting God sort it out in the fire. Because in life, sometimes there are moments, sometimes months, sometimes weeks, sometimes it seems to drag out for a year, when it's not just a bad circumstance, but they start to pile up. It's not a bad moment, but bad months. It's, you know, as one person said, if it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't believe in luck at all. And Pastor, I've just had a string of bad luck. I've just had all these problems accumulate. And it wasn't enough that I had a health problem. It wasn't enough that I got sick. It wasn't enough that now I'm having marital struggles. It wasn't enough now that I've had a decrease in pay. And if that wasn't enough, my insurance went up, I wrecked a vehicle. You know, things start to pile up like that. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Paul. I mean, here he is, a prisoner on a ship. That's bad. He knows if he doesn't win this appeal, most likely it's going to cost him his life. And for me, it's a bad day and you got to ride on a ship. A calm sea is going to upset my stomach. But this wasn't calm. These were days of fighting through a storm and throwing everything overboard, hoping to save the ship. And then the Bible says the ship is torn apart and they grab pieces of wood, pieces of the boat, make it to land. Now, if that's not bad enough, can you imagine how cold and worn out, and the cold is exhausting. Being in an ocean environment is exhausting. And you pull yourself up onto land. And you gather together and you're greeted by barbarians. Now, what we imagine in our mind, go back 2,000 years. We're talking about real life, what you see in an encyclopedia, barbarians. They're there to greet them, start a fire, and Paul, being the helping servant that he was, decides to help now gather wood. And in this endeavor, a snake. Now, these people knew their island and the snakes on the island. And as soon as that snake latched onto Paul, they immediately knew this is a venomous viper. And Saul has just minutes to live. Paul, now his Christian name, as he stands there, they know his heart is beating and pumping that venom into his heart. And it's a matter of minutes. His life is over. And Paul shakes it off into the fire and keeps working. And they stand around wondering what's going to take place, waiting. The Bible says, for quite a while, verse 6, when they had looked a great while and saw no harm, they stand back in amazement what had just taken place. Now I want you to see three or four simple points tonight, and we'll go home, drink some chocolate milk, and call it an evening. I want you to see number one, Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake, and he should have died. Christians, there are going to be times in life when you feel snake bit. And it's not just a feeling. I mean, you've got the venom in your veins. You've been hurt or hit. Life dealt you a serious blow. The snake is there. Now, this was something very public for all to see. And that's one of the worst kind of snake bites. Because if you have something happen and it's private, at least you can hide the pain, because people around you are very curious. You know what the people did as soon as this happened? They wanted to see what was going to happen. They wanted to see the end result. They wanted to see if Paul was going to scream out or fall on the ground or look for help or begin to take a knife and cut around the wound to begin to suck the poison out of his system. They wondered what was going to take place. And you know what happens in life when something bad, something tragic, snake, Satan gets involved, a viper latches on. You know what people do? Well, I don't like the questions. Well, you know, the fact of life is people are curious. Don't be one of those curious people. I mean, ever been driving down I-35 and you think, boy, it must be a horrific accident. Traffic is backed up for miles and miles and miles. And it's a little fender bender and the cars have been pulled off the road, but everybody has to nearly stop and see exactly what damage has been done to those two cars. And all the while, they're causing two or three more accidents by rubbernecking. You know how many Christian rubberneckers there are on this planet? As soon as they see a fender bender, as soon as they see a spiritual wreck, as soon as they see a viper, it doesn't even have to be latched on anyone. They're going to sit around, call people over, take pictures, measure the snake, ask who's been bit, take a look, tell them, you know, red and yellow can kill a fellow. Have you ever been there? You ever been snake bit and then you get tired of explaining? You get tired of making up things to explain away that you just been bit? You didn't want anyone to notice, but you been over, it was a public place and you were trying to hide the snake bite, couldn't do it. A lot of Christians have been snake bit, never survived. Something had happened. Something bad happened. It was a cobra. It was a water moccasin. Now, my suggestion in life, do everything you can not to be snake bit. I've been around a lot of snakes in my life. But, knock on wood, been hunting, fishing, been in Texas, Mexico, seen a lot of venomous snakes, but thankfully I've never been bit. And my piece of advice would be, do everything within your power to avoid getting snake bit. My brother and I Brother Vant and Traher, and we were out on the lake one evening, and my brother caught a big fish, a catfish with a rubber worm. Now, that's a rare occasion, but he did. He played around with that cat and finally pulled it into the boat. Now, no, he'll tell you it's 35 or 40, 45, 50 pounds. It was 27. I was there and he weighed it. It was a big fish. But he cut the tail off of that. We're still in the water. Leans it over the side of the boat, let it bleed. And we're in one of those little three-man boats that only sat about 3 inches off the water. And the next thing you know, I see a water moccasin. I've been out that part of the lake dozens of times. Never seen. I know they're out there. I just never seen one. He was making a beeline for the boat. And you know Dole, as crazy as he is, he took out that oar, hit it over the head, and threw it in the back of the boat. I said, hey, that thing doesn't need to go home with us. He said, yeah. He said, let's take it home. So we sat back, began to fish again. Here comes another water moccasin. Something strange is taking place here. You just don't see two water moccasins going after a boat, Lake Travis. So he took the oar and hit that one over there. I said, don't throw that in the boat. So we started fishing again. Here comes another water moccasin. Now, it depends if you talk to Van or Dole or me how many water moccasins we killed that night. I don't know. But it was too many. And at one point, since they had the oars and I did not, I decided to stand on the seat and point out the snakes. You say, why were you on the seat? Because those snakes at any time could come right into that boat. And I didn't feel like getting bit. Now, here's a suggestion. How many of you ever seen a Christian get snake bit and not survive? Something happened. Misunderstanding. Criticism. Gossip. Mistreatment. An injustice. Something wasn't done properly. They considered that not to be fair. There's only one problem with fair. Fair is a matter of opinion. And none of us share the same opinion. Fair is a place where they sell pigs and judge cows. Fair is not the way we are treated in life. But somehow that person got snake bit. And here's where Paul found himself. Snake bit. And he walks over and shakes it off. The problem was it was public. People noticed. And the worst part about being snake bit was Paul was doing the right thing. He was trying to be a help. Now, when you're out there on an island, you're surrounded by barbarians. You're worn out. You just survived a shipwreck. He didn't have to. But it looks to me like, according to the text, he's one of the few that's actually grabbing sticks and firewood and gathering it. So he's doing the right thing. Christian, be careful, because sometimes doing the right thing, even being cautious, he's gathering. You know what? Hate to tell you the bad news tonight. Even doing the right thing and gathering, maybe you're gathering converts. Maybe you're gathering friends together. Maybe you're gathering right things, proper things. You're not gathering gossip. You're not gathering wickedness. You're not gathering anything improper. You're just trying to do the right thing. Gather for the work of God, the house of God. And somewhere in there, Satan slipped a snake. And the next thing you know, that person you thought you were helping, that ministry you thought you were building, that couple you thought you were discipling, that church that you thought was such a perfect church you were attending, and out of the darkness came the venomous viper and just latched on, sunk its teeth right down into your flesh. Now, here's what the average Christian does. Walks around, say, looky there. See that viper? Yeah, both of us thought that was a good person, good friend, good fella. Uh-huh. That's the way Christians are. Paul did the smart thing. He shook it off. But don't think for a minute just because you're doing the right thing. Don't think for a minute just because you're helping or you're gathering wood or you're keeping the fire lit. You know what? The church needs a lot of fire going. And you ought to be the one that's helping. But yes, gathering firewood. Listen, you know where snakes stay? wood piles. Brush is gathered. That's the best place to find a snake. Ask Brother Adrian about clearing out wood and brush and finding himself standing on top of a rattlesnake or a water moccasin, something he shouldn't be standing on. That happens when you're around wood and in the work of God. Now, if you don't want to be snake bit, just don't help keep the fire lit. To say, you know what, I want to steer clear. It looks dangerous to me. Yes, it is dangerous. Some of you that have been busy in the work of God long enough have had a snake latch onto you. Every one of you that's regularly involved in a ministry, whether that's teenagers, Christian school, soul winning, discipleship, clubs, you know, at some point, you're going to be gathering wood, and you're going to feel those fangs. You're going to back up and say, hey, I'm trying to do the right thing here. Snakes don't care. Snakes are normally after the people that are gathering wood. Number two, being snake bit affected the way that these people looked at him. So he's over there gathering up the wood, verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Have you ever noticed he got snake bit and people notice? And then the accusations come. Yeah, he deserved that. That's God's judgment. I know what's happening in his life. I know why that child went astray. I know why their marriage is in trouble. I understand what's happening to him financially. I can see why he lost his job. I can understand why God has come down so severely on him. You ever been snake bit? You just feel like you're snake bit and snake bit hard and you can't get past the snake bite. And then you have to listen to the commentary. Now, I know people talk, but I don't mind what I can't hear. This is why people say, well, Pastor, did you hear what was said? Well, Pastor, did you notice on Facebook? Well, Pastor, have you read that blog? No, I don't want to. I prefer ignorance because ignorance is bliss. I have no intention of studying out the bad things people are saying about me. But if someone throws out an accusation, you don't have to hear it. Not nearly as bad as the ones that you actually hear. And in his presence, they're saying, no doubt. Where are you coming up with this? What makes this man a murderer? Well, he's in shackles, and I know he's a prisoner, and he has guards around him. That must mean he's a murderer. No, he's the greatest missionary of all time. He's a planter of churches. He's the discipler of Titus and Timothy, Tychicus and Trophimus. This man will be talked about and preached about not for centuries, but for millenniums. This is going to be one of the greatest men of God to ever grace the planet. But because a snake bit him, now these barbarians are considering him a murderer. And look at their words, no doubt. So how are you coming to this conclusion? Listen, hey, there's no doubt here. There's no doubt in my mind who this man is. Have you ever been there? Now, here's the best way to avoid this. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't be anything. You'll never have to worry about an accusation. Well, Pastor, I've never dealt with an accusation. You've keyed in on those three keys. Don't do anything spiritual. Don't say anything spiritual. Don't be anything spiritual. And you won't have to worry about the comments or the accusations. But you know what hurts when you've been snake bit? And then people's I'm talking about sometimes even close friends. Trusted friends. Maybe even family. And suddenly they're kind of looking at you suspiciously. So why are you dealing with this? It's a snake. I'm going to have to take a look at your record, history, find out what's really going here. Something is going on. Folks, I'm trying to help you out tonight. Because if you don't understand, occasionally you're going to be snake bit. And as soon as you get snake bit, people tend to talk. And their whole perspective of Paul was changed, not because of his actions, not because of who he was, not based on facts, but based on the simple fact that a snake had latched onto him. And they said, well, this must be his just due. Yes, the gods allowed him to survive the shipwreck. But his reward, his consequences come. He's going to die. And they begin to make false suppositions. You know what he did? He didn't get angry. How many of you found yourself angry because you heard a false connotation? Sometimes it can happen in marriage. Supposing that person is doing wrong based on nothingness, based on nervousness, based on a supposition. You know what you should do? You should guard your mind and say, I'm not going to think evil of anyone, whether or not I see a snake latched onto them. It's probable they need medical attention, not criticism.